Ben Bruss, Kyle Walls, Brad Norman, no Alex Strofe's up in Green Bay. So we have Chris Larson in his place running the show. Joining us right now is Jason Wilde of Wilde and Tausch. Jason, lots of information out there from Goody's press conference and clips being sent to me. I want to get through it all with you, so let's jump right in. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. I guess the thing that is frustrating Kyle most is hearing Goody talk about how he doesn't expect a first-round pick to contribute right away. Can you talk him off a ledge?
Well, I know Kyle is doing well, but why is he not doing well with that statement? Why does that bother you,
because
Kyle?
It sets the bar extremely too low, and when you look at the first-round picks that he has had, these guys aren't contributing year one, and that's hurting this football team. But then even more than that, they're not developing down the road the way that you need it. When you look at other organizations, I know the Detroit Lions, they drafted a lot of guys high, but those guys have turned into cornerstone or foundational players. You even look at like the Philadelphia Eagles. A lot of those guys have turned into contributors. So when you set the bar as, no, we don't need them to contribute, when you have holes on the defensive line, you have holes at cornerback, you have holes at wide receiver, you need to find somebody who can actually contribute right away. You don't want to have back-to-back-to-back years where you're drafting somebody and you're basically getting no production from them in year one.
Yeah, I would say the second half of what you said there, though, is the disconcerting part, right? Like, you know, they've made the playoffs each of the last 2 years, with Lucas Van Ness having a minimal impact 2 years ago, with Jordan Morgan having minimal impact last year. That doesn't bother me. But if I'm a Packers fan, the second half of what you said, which I think is a very valid criticism, is the problem, right? You know, they paid, let's go back to 2019, right? 2018 was Goody's first draft. He took Jair. He's been an all-pro twice. Regardless of the situation with him now, the dude came in, contributed right away, and played at a high level, and has been a very good player for them when he's on the field. There's no denying that. 19, they have two first-round picks. Rashawn Gary, very limited production as a rookie. Darnell Savage starts as a rookie, but never develops, to the second half of your point. And they paid Rashawn Gary, but to what degree Rashawn Gary has emerged and developed as an elite pass rusher, he hasn't gotten to that level yet. 2020 is Jordan Love. We all know how long it took, what the process was for him to become a starter. 2021, Eric Stokes started a bunch of games as a rookie, didn't develop into a very good player. He had injury issues, I get it. But there's a reason why he took a one-year prove-it deal with the Raiders and why the Packers made no effort to re-sign him. 2022, Quay Walker was an opening day starter. I think he started every game as a rookie that he wasn't getting kicked out of. But again, where is his development at? I may die on this hill, but I am a believer that he was turning the corner last year. I was writing a story for my preview series on him at the linebacker position. And if you look at how he played against San Francisco and then Miami on Thanksgiving, I think a light bulb had gone on. Unfortunately, a couple weeks later, he hurts his ankle. But it's interesting, Goody did say, one of the things that jumped out today is that both he and Devontae Wyatt are guys that they want in 2026 and beyond. So it sounds, based on what Goody said, that they're not necessarily going to give them the fifth-year option. Instead, they want to get extensions done with both of them. So
That's a surprise to me, Jason.
Well, it's not that surprising, because it could also just be built out the same way he's building out all these contracts, where it's just like a two-year front load.
Right, and so they would get probably a little bit more money than the fifth-year option would be worth for each of them, but they would have longer control. And then if they pop, they're under contract already. And if they stink, yeah, you paid a little bit more in the short term, but you're not carrying one of them with like a $15 million cap number this year and another one with a $12 million cap number this year.
Jason, you just said something I think that is so key. Me and Brad looked at each other. If they pop, we're talking about year four popping? Like, how long does it take to, like, how long are we supposed to give these guys? This was college football. You're talking about, we're going to wait till the red shirt senior year, fifth year.
Well, if this was college football, they probably would have transferred twice already.
100%.
But that's a fair critique. There's no doubt about it. Now, you know, is it a lot easier to get guys that pop when you're drafting fifth or eighth or 11th?
Yeah. Or 13th.
As opposed to Quay Walker was 22nd. Devontae Wyatt was, what, 28th or 29th?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit different there. But no, look, the criticism of Lucas Van Ness is extremely fair. I mean, he's the 13th overall pick. The guy that went two picks later in the pick swap to the Jets.
10.5.
Will McDonald, 10.5 sacks. You know, the pride of Pulaski High School in Milwaukee. And
hey,
then was it Waukesha North after that?
I think it was Waukesha North.
So my point is that your critique is not unfair. But to me, the bigger issue is at what point do these guys develop? I don't have a problem with guys not contributing right away. I have a big problem with guys not becoming really good players, because that's the point of being a first-round pick. And so I don't think you're off base there. I just wouldn't be bothered by, you know, if they draft an edge rusher and suddenly, you know, both Rashawn Gary and Lucas Van Ness play to the level that they should as first-round picks, you know, to the level that the Smith brothers did in 2019, right? They didn't need Rashawn Gary that year because Preston and Za'Darius Smith were awesome as pass rushers. So, again, that is not a concern for me, but I do think this, and I think we all need to come to grips with this, that when Goody says stuff about, you know, we have everything we need with the pass rush or how good he feels about the wide receivers, I don't think that's just saying nice things about the guys on his team anymore. I thought that maybe that was it, but he had a line today, and I don't know if Wooly clipped it or not, but I just got done typing it into my story, and that is, if we had to go play next week, I feel really good about our roster.
I feel like I've played it 10 times because I can't get over that. Because it told me, and I think you have the same takeaway, is he's not blowing smoke. I think this man truly believes, based off his quote in the question that you asked him at the end of the season and now doubling down now, that the guys in the building and the guys on the roster, he truly believes there's enough.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question, Ben. Like, I had been maybe in that crowd of saying, well, you know, I think I said it to you guys, well, what the hell is he going to say, right? You didn't sign a free agent pass rusher, so you kind of have to say, we feel we can get it done with the guys we've already got on the team, right? You know, you got to say that because that's all you got on the team. Now, again, actions matter, and he had a bunch of edge rushers that came in for visits, and some of them are first-round talents that he may pick. You know, the Georgia kid, Mikel Williams, Shamar Stewart, and his 9.99 RAS score, which Goody says they don't use that. Which
He has his own. Okay. I was told he has his own score that they put together.
GAS score.
I was kind of like, I mean, you. Okay, so you don't use that specific mathematical equation, but I was glad that he expounded, because when he first said that, I was like, oh, no, come on. We all know that you care about that stuff. But I guess my point is that he clearly does believe that, because otherwise you don't keep blowing this smoke, right? Like, notice what he said about Jair, right? He definitely curtailed his answer about him now. Now it's, well, he's on the roster right now. Like, he finally said what usually people say, as opposed to his proclamation that if he's not going to be helping us win games, then we'd like to get something in return for him because we've invested a lot in him. Like, to me, that was more interesting to get a glimpse into, okay, they're done with him. It's just a matter of how, not when. Whereas the other stuff, he really does believe in what he's got on his roster already.
Jason, I want to go back to the comment about the first-round draft pick contributing. You mentioned that you're okay with one maybe necessarily not having a big contribution round one or year one. But don't you think they need to, because Goody has elected to craft this team on an ongoing basis as a young roster. So if you're a young roster, that means you got to play and play now. And even he, I believe it was Ron Wolf that said, you know, only what, 1.6 guys per draft class get that second contract?
No, that's Goody that said that.
Oh, Goody said that. So even more so that the guys you're going to have for the long term are very few. So those first four-ish years of your contract, they're critical. So don't you think with a young team, plus a sense of urgency, don't you think, you know, you would expect more contribution out of a first-round draft pick?
I mean, he does go on to say that you would love for that to be the case, right? He does say the transition to the National Football League is tough. It's not always easy. Most of the time, a guy's impact his rookie year comes down to the opportunities that he had more than anything. So, look, if he's drafted a wide receiver, let's say they draft McMillan, right?
I'll go crazy. Yeah.
You know what you'd be doing? You'd be doing well. Let's say it's him, right? You don't know when you're going to have Watson back. You got questions about Romeo Dobbs. Like, he could come in and play right away and have a huge impact, right? Especially since you'd have to trade up to get him. But, you know, looking at where they're at on their team, I don't think if you drafted a linebacker, he'd play right away. We know who their starting five offensive linemen are. Defensive line, yeah, you could probably get a guy that could play right away, but not necessarily a requirement. Running back, you don't need. Quarterback, you don't need. Safety, you definitely don't need. And while you might want a guy that could come in and start day one at corner, I think they really like Hobbs. That's why they paid him. They really like Nixon, and they really like Valentine. So if those are your three corners, and then you got this bunch of safeties along with your first-team All-Pro in Xavier McKinney, like, I don't look at their roster and say, they got to get a guy that plays day one at this position. I don't see that. Now, that doesn't mean that they don't have improvements to make on their offense or on their defense or on their roster as a whole. I'm not saying that. I'm not on board with if they lined up with this group. If Goodell showed up and said, hey, in exchange for putting the draft in your little podunk town, you don't get to pick any players, I don't think that would be good for them. I'm not on board with Goody's position. Hey. That they could win, you know, that they could be a Super Bowl team if they don't add anything in the draft. But we have seen guys, it doesn't have to be the first round pick. Edgerrin Cooper wasn't a first round pick. There's no denying the impact he had. Evan Williams was a fourth round pick. There's no denying the impact he had.
Totally agree. So, the likelihood is, I mean, based off trends, that there's a better opportunity in the first round, but he's done well in the later rounds as of recent.
Right. So my point is that that's not the part that would get me bent out of shape about Goody and anything he said today. I think the part that would bother me as a Packers fan is the point that Kyle made.
Yeah, and I want to stick there, Jason. As Jason Woolley's with us on Kyle Bruston-Ortman, you mentioned the development, and we've gone through a couple of the guys from 18 to 19 to 20 to 21. What do you, as somebody who's been around the team for this long, like, what do you attribute that to? Like, the coaching or the talent?
I mean, it's the answer is always both.
Of course.
Right? I mean, that's always the primary. That's the first thing that anybody would say. But I would say that, you know, there have been players that have played a lot in their first two, three seasons, right, from the 22 and 23 draft classes in particular. And then you've got the 2020 and 2021 classes that each have one guy left. In Jordan Love and Isaiah McDuffie. But I would say they've missed on picks. Just because guys play a lot doesn't mean they're good, right? They may have some production because they play a lot, but that doesn't mean they're good or special. And so, you know, from a developmental standpoint, like, that's why I just think this year is such a crucial year. I think it's crucial for Goody and LaFleur, obviously. But, you know, look, I know Jordan Love does not lack for confidence. And I understand he dealt with some injuries last year. I'm not discounting those. But one of the things that I like best about Jordan is that he's not a finger pointer or a spread the blame around guy. Mm-mm. And even with the drops, he would say, hey, look, I was not accurate enough this season, and I made it even harder for those guys. So I look at him as a guy who, when I say he's got to play better than he has, I don't feel like I'm disrespecting him at all. I feel like I'm saying the same thing that he would say, that he's got to be more mobile. He's got to be more accurate. He's got to make some more big plays. And so he's a guy that, but he's not the only one either, right? These wide receivers that they have on this team, they have to make a jump. Luke Musgrave has to make a jump. Like, these are guys that have been here and been on this roster now for three.
How many guys can jump?
Yeah, that's a lot of hope and jumps, don't you think, Jason? For this year,
I think. I mean, Brad, you played in the league. Like, sometimes the light goes on at different times for different. And believe me, I'm not a Goody apologist here, right? And Musgrave,
most of the time you can see it though, Jason.
But I think we saw it with Musgrave. Like with Musgrave, for example, the issue has been staying healthy, right? I mean,
correct.
He lacerates his kidney, he breaks his ankle, okay? With Wicks, I think we've definitely seen glimpses of it, and I give him credit because he was the guy who was dropping passes at an alarming rate, and if you look at the numbers in the second half of the season, he fixed it.
Yeah, Jaden Reed ended up being the consistent problem.
Right. So my point is that, you know, as you well know, yes, you certainly want to be making strides year one, year two, but I bet you were a better punter in year three than you were in year two or year one, right? And so, look, I'm not saying these guys all suck either. Like, they've all had – we've seen great moments from Jaden Reed. We've seen great moments from Luke Musgrave when he's not tripping over his legs like he's Bambi. We've seen those moments from Wicks, but they have to happen a heck of a lot more for them to get to where they want to go.
Yeah, I mean, the consistency is going to be a big thing, and I think you've said it a lot, and I keep using it. It is a pivotal year for Jordan Love and an interesting year for Goody and LaFleur together. We appreciate the time. It's just day one of NFL Draft Week. We'll be hearing you all
Jason,
week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Are you joining us live on Thursday, Jason?
I mean, I've considered the possibility. What are you going to sweeten the pot in any way for me,
wow.
Or am I just going out of
if just
of
coming
obligation?
To see me out of love is too much for you, Jason? Then I'll talk to you over the phone.
No, I think we've got all kinds of stuff going on. Let me put it this way: it is my intent,
all right,
to join you in person, but I need to get from the Tundra Trio back home for a little while before I head back to the stadium. So I will do everything I can to make sure that I see you in person and that you tell me that you're doing well.
I'll even give you a hug. Nothing less than that. Thank you, Jason.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Jason Moldy with tons of insight, as this is only day one and there are so many things to dissect and talk about.
He was good.
Yeah, it was good stuff.
Anytime he agrees with me is good.
I was going to say, that's why it was good. I was like, because he's like, oh, yeah,
he
Kyle, your second part about development. Let's dive a little deeper.
Yeah.
Is it the talent or is it the coaching? Is it Goody's problem or is it LaFleur's problem that these first-round picks have not developed the way that people think they should? Next.